The following is a presentation of Sports Addict Media.
Show here on Sports Addict Media. Joe Cacavalli, Joe Sokoa, Alfonso Tamura getting ready to join us here as well. We're going to talk so many big things this week. We are just under a week away from All Hallows Eve. We are on the eve of what is known as a beautiful time called the Sports Equinox. On Sunday, all four major sports will be in action. The MLB World Series, the NHL, the NBA, and the NFL will all be in action. It is a wonderful time of year. We have so much to get into. We'll start with football as we always do, but of course Joe and I have to talk about how the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Texas Rangers in a very unlikely World Series matchup, after both teams were down 3-2, had to go on the road and win two straight games. They both did it.
Yep.
The magic of Creed sank the Houston Astros and sent them home. And Joe, we have a lot to talk about there. We'll talk a little bit about hockey as well with the season underway, but this is a time we were really looking forward to, because we were getting through those dog days of summer just trying to figure out what to fill around all the baseball talk.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, with the Yankees and Mets, at least here in the local area, not doing, you know, what they were supposed to do. But as a Yankee fan, we're kind of happy to see the Astros go down in flames, and the fact that the Texas Rangers, who had a 2% chance to make the World Series at the beginning part of the season, are there. And then the Arizona Diamondbacks were plus 1,800. No, I'm sorry. I think they were plus 1,800. Were they plus 1,800 or probably plus 1,800 to win the World Series? 84 wins, and that's baseball, guys. You know, it seems like year in and year out, there's something like that, and it's the wild card teams. The teams that just sneak into the playoffs are the ones that get to, you know, to be the top two. And it's going to be fun. The World Series gets underway on Friday night. And as you mentioned, you know, it's going to be real fun on Sunday when pretty much all professional sports are going at the same time. But, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that and preview this World Series matchup and how those teams got there. And then also, we definitely have to touch base. Last night was a pretty big night in the NHL. There were 16 games. All 32 teams played, and was staggered every 15 minutes from 6 o'clock all the way until about 11 o'clock. So a lot of fun stuff happening now, but this is where we're at with the fall season, although apparently this week it's not going to feel like fall here in New York. It's going to be summer again. So that's going to be real interesting as we get through. But I'm going to let you guys talk a little bit of football, and then I'll pop back on in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, great weather to get the flu here in New York. I mean, it's like 45, 50 degrees at night. And then during the day, during the end of the week, it's going to be like 76 degrees. So it's going to be weird. I mean, Al, you probably have the same weather like the last like 6 weeks or so. So I feel like you haven't had to worry too much about it.
No, it's, you know, in the 70s and 80s here every day until, you know, December, and then goes down a little for December and January, and then, you know, but our winter is your fall. So, that's the weather you're getting now, we'll have in January, and that's it.
And Al, you and I this week, so we kind of talked last week's show how Al got the luxury of being one of the six teams on the bye last week. Well, Al and I are going to be sworn enemies this week, because the Jets and the Giants get to play each other. It's going to be an interesting matchup for sure. Definitely not where these two teams expected to be getting to this point in the season, but we'll preview that in a minute. Let's go through the scores. We'll take a look at what happened in Week 7 in the NFL before we jump into the Giants and Jets, their pending matchup, and Week 8 as a whole. Started off on Thursday Night Football. It was a wild game. The Jaguars held control over the Saints for a while, but New Orleans came storming back in the fourth quarter. Jacksonville was able to hold on, though, and went 31-24. Jaguars moved to 5-2, 3-0 on the road, so they are very impressive away from home. The Saints falling below 500 to 3-4. over on Sunday, how about the Giants getting a win, getting off the schneid at home, getting their ending that four-game losing streak? They beat the Washington Commanders 14-7. A couple of early touchdowns from Tyrod Taylor. The Giants finally scoring a first-half offensive touchdown on the season. And in fact, they actually scored two in the first half. That was both their touchdowns. And they also broke a pretty much month-long touchdown streak that was ended, where they couldn't score any touchdowns for the entire month since week three against San Francisco. So good to see them break the streak there. They improved to 2-5 on the year. Washington falls to 3-4. The Bears at home took care of business against the Raiders 30-12. How about Tyson Badgett putting up three touchdown passes there? And Chicago without Justin Fields moves to 2-3. The Raiders fall to 3-4. How about this game of the week? 39-38, the Browns beat the Colts in Indianapolis, and half the game wasn't even Deshaun Watson. It was P.J. Walker against Gardner Minshew. Ended up being the best back-and-forth game of the week, so that's football sometimes, I guess. Figures up at the under in that game. But how about the Patriots at home beat the Buffalo Bills 29-25? Buffalo looking real shaky now the last couple of weeks. Had that near loss to the Giants on Sunday Night Football. Now they lose to New England on the road. Buffalo now falling to 4-3 on the year. The Patriots, like the Giants, are up to 2-5. The Falcons went into Tampa. They beat the Buccaneers 16-13 to improve to 4-3 on the season. Tampa Bay falling to 3-3 as well. And boy, what the hell happens to the Lions this week? They go into Baltimore. They get trounced by the Ravens 38-6, sending both teams to 5-2 on the season. The Steelers picked up a surprising win. They go into L.A. and beat the Rams 24-17. Ended up outscoring the Rams 14-0 in the fourth quarter to steal that one from L.A. Seahawks at home, they took care of the Cardinals 20-10. Cardinals fall to 1-6 on the year. Seahawks improving to 4-2. And then a messy one in Denver. Russell Wilson and the Broncos beat the Packers 19-17. Denver picking up their second win of the year, going to 2-5. Green Bay falling to 2-4. The Chiefs beat the Chargers in the divisional matchup 31-17. Chiefs now 6-1 on the year. Looking impressive as always. Mahomes over 400 yards, four touchdowns in the win. The Chargers falling to a tough luck 2-4. Over on Sunday Night Football, the Eagles took care of the Dolphins at home 31-17. They moved to 6-1 on the year, avenging that loss to the Jets from 2 weeks ago. The Dolphins falling to 5-2, just their second loss of the year. Both have come on the road. And things wrapped up Monday Night Football. How about Kirk Cousins, the game of possibly his career, definitely his best game of the season, as the Vikings beat the 49ers 22-17 in Minnesota, moving to 3-4 on the year. The Niners fell to 5-2. We saw the undying power of Creed, because apparently Kirk Cousins blasted Creed in the clubhouse before their game in the locker room. So it got the Rangers to the World Series, got the Vikings a win. So clearly Creed is all powerful, as Joe and I ended the show with them last week. But Al, you know, obviously I mentioned it already, the Jets conspicuous by their absence on their schedule. They get that week 7 bye, and they get that full week of rest heading into week 8 against the Giants. So, you know, being able to kick back and watch the games this week, I mean, what are you hoping to see now from the Jets, you know, with their batteries a little more recharged? What are you hoping to see from them as they come out of the bye this week?
We want to keep seeing the progress that Zach Wilson has made, and the blending of Wilson and Hackett, you know, in the play calling, you know, that they're getting more comfortable with each other. You know, Wilson being more comfortable with the plays called for him, and Hackett more comfortable with, you know, playing to, you know, calling a game that fits Zach Wilson's strengths. I think two of the last three games were pretty good for Zach, the last game and then, you know, and the Chiefs game. That one in between where they played the Broncos, I don't think he looked as sharp, and that is a weak defense, so I would have liked to have seen more. So, you know, I want to see that Zach can do some things to not just not lose the game, but maybe, you know, at times we're going to need him to do a little more than just manage the game and, you know, not turn it over. So I want to see some of that happening. Also, we want to see, you know, our defense continue to make progress. It just seems to be getting better and better each week. Want to make sure it's healthy now. You know, we were without our both starting corners last week. We were without our starting nickel corner, you know, so definitely want to see, you know, the defense healthy and, you know, how sharp we can look. And, you know, continue to get the pass rush and see if we can shake up, whether it be Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor. I think it'll be Taylor this week. So, you know, that's what you want to see as a Jet fan. And, you know, they should go in there and shouldn't have too much trouble, you know, slowing that offense down at least. You know, the defense is another story, but, you know, they shouldn't have a lot of trouble slowing that offense down.
And as we look ahead to this game, it is 1 o'clock CBS, and it's going to be this Sunday, Jets and Giants. Al, the Jets kind of get the bonus here. They almost get a bonus home game because they're technically the road team in this matchup. But, of course, they will be at home. Right now, the Jets are listed as a three-point favorite. So, you know, seeing what we've seen out the last 2 weeks out of the Giants, you know, Tyrod Taylor has brought them almost to two wins. But granted, they've only scored 23 points in the last two games, and we've seen just a lot of, you know, problems along this offensive line, and the one place the Jets have been a little more healthy is the pass rush. So, I mean, is this a situation where you as a Jets fan feel like, I think the Giants offensive line is pretty exploitable. I mean, I feel like this is going to be a rough matchup. This is probably going to be one of those in the trenches, low scoring affairs. You're probably going to see a lot of Breece Hall and Saquon Barkley in this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be, it might not be the most exciting game to watch. I don't think we're going to see the ball flinging around much. It's going to be, you know, the running game. The Jets are one of the deepest teams when it comes to defensive line. I think they're so deep that they can't even dress everyone that should be dressed each week. You know, to the expense of other positions, but that's the route they decided to take. So we definitely got want to get that, you know, that pressure, you know, on Taylor or Jones if he were back. And, you know, we got to keep Breece going like we've had him going the last few weeks since those pitch count basically came off, you know, and Saleh said, you know, we're not going to be holding him back anymore. He's going full speed. You know, you've seen less work out of Dalvin Cook, who now they're talking about possibly trading. So it's going to be, you know, two of the best running backs in football going head to head, you know, against each other, and what defense can, you know, play better and stop that, because I'm not sure either quarterback is really going to be able to, you know, light it up and win the game for their team.
And of course, as of right now, Saquon Barkley, they got a little banged up in that game against Washington, has a little bit of an elbow injury, but as of right now, he is expected to play on Sunday. So, I mean, obviously the Jets get that advantage, like I said, but they also get a chance to kind of watch the Giants up close and personal last week with the ability of, you know, not having to play their game. So you see the Giants, they pick off Sam Howell, and when they sack him six times, their defense seemed a lot more energized, a lot more hungry going here. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, even though he wasn't a world beater in this game, he still threw for two touchdowns, and the offense was moving. I remember saying on last week's show how, you know, if your defense keeps getting gassed and having to stay out there and, you know, their turnovers aren't being matched by points, you know, they're going to start to kind of fall apart on you a little bit. So to see them playing this energized and this strongly, I mean, Zach Wilson's probably going to have to be careful. The Giants pass rush is playing as good as it has all season. So what do you want to see from him as far as dealing with that? That could be one of the big things we see going forward here if the Giants can maintain that pressure against Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we need to see him continue to not make those mistakes that, you know, he's been known to make. Whether it be panicking, not knowing what to do with the ball, I think, you know, in feeling that him and Hackett have been, you know, getting more comfortable with each other, he's learning what Hackett wants of him, what he's supposed to do with the ball when the pressure comes. And we know the Giants can pressure the quarterback, you know, they got to watch out for Thibodeau and stuff. And our offensive line is pretty dreadful. So it's, you know, the pressure's going to come, but when it comes, can he, you know, Zach do, you know, what he needs to do, hit the hot man, you know, throw the ball away, take the sack if need be, but, you know, not be giving the ball away.
And as we're looking at the schedule coming up, specifically for the Jets here, I mean, after the Giants, they have to play the Chargers, they go to Vegas, then they have to go to Buffalo and play Miami. So I feel like coming out of bye here, this could be a really important stretch for the Jets as they get ready to figure out where they're getting sorted out here in the AFC as we go on through the season.
Yeah, I mean, these are the games you have to win. You know, you have to win these when you have Miami coming up and things like, you know, now they have the Giants, they have the Chargers at home. That's more of a tough game. But then you have the Raiders. Like, you have to win the games that you're supposed to win, because when you're going up against first place, we score 100 points a game. Dolphins, you can't, you know, expect to win all those games. So, you know, the games that you should win, you have to win.
And speaking of Allen, the Miami Dolphins, let's take a look at the quick standings here as we enter week 8 in the NFL. Right now, the AFC East, the Dolphins up top at 5-2, followed by the Bills at 4-3. The Jets are 3-3. The Patriots are bringing things up at 2-5. They're definitely happy to get back on the win column last week. Starting to get a little tight there in New England for Bill Belichick and Mac Jones. But in the AFC North, you have the Baltimore Ravens in first place at 5-2, followed by a couple of 4-2 teams, the Steelers and the Browns. The Bengals round things out at 3-3. They were both picked to go to the Super Bowl by myself and Al, so we're hoping, obviously, they start to right the ship a little bit if we're going to be proved right. Over in the AFC South, the Jaguars in first place at 5-2, like many expected. The Houston Texans starting to play a little bit better there at 3-3 in second place, followed by the Colts at 3-4 and the Titans at 2-4. And over in the AFC West, you have the Chiefs leading the way at 6-1, followed by the Raiders at 3-4, the Chargers at 2-4, and the Broncos at 2-5. And if the playoffs started today, you had the four division leaders, the Chiefs, Dolphins, Ravens, and Jaguars up top. And then you'd be following that up with the Steelers, Browns, and Bills would be the three wildcard teams in the AFC. But still plenty of time to go and a lot to be sorted out with a lot of 3-3, 3-4 teams kind of jammed in there as we play on here going into week 8.
That's you know, where we're at. The Jets are 3-3. They're right there, you know, between those 3-4 and 4-3 teams. And there's a lot of them in both conferences. And these are going to be the teams that are fighting it out for those wild cards. It's likely, I mean, it wouldn't be unheard of if one jumped a division leader. But it's likely, you know, the teams sitting here are going to be those teams fighting for those three wild card spots in the AFC. So the Bills, the Bengals, the Browns. I don't think the Raiders will be sitting there, but I would expect the Chargers, if they can just stop being so terrible, would be there, you know, possibly the Texans, you know, the Jets, like all these teams that are 3-3, 4-3, 3-4, you know, they're going to be fighting it out. So these wins are important, and that's why it's, you know, even next week against the Chargers, that's a huge game, because that's going to be one of those teams you're competing with for that playoff spot. So, you know, you need to add that win and give them a loss. I think the Browns are looking better and better every week. Bengals as well. You know, the defenses on those teams are looking good. So, you know, the Jets are going to be fighting there, you know, with them, with the Bills and or the Dolphins, you know, whoever is not leading in the division, you know, possibly the Chargers. So, you know, these games are, you know, critically important at this point.
And Al, one of the teams you mentioned there before we jump into the NFC, where things sit, I mean, I kind of alluded to it before how the Bills seem to have kind of hit a bit of a slow patch in the last couple of weeks. So when you see them play the way they did against the Giants, they were making mistakes. They were very sloppy. They couldn't beat the Patriots. I mean, we've seen this with the good teams where they kind of go through these funks. But does it seem like to you, I feel like Buffalo is one of those teams that they tend to sometimes play down to their competition a little bit, because you saw how good they looked, you know, scoring 48 against the Dolphins. We thought they were world beaters. They were scoring points like crazy the first couple of games after that loss to the Jets. But then all of a sudden they lose to Jacksonville. They barely beat the Giants, and then they lose to New England, and they're going to play a pretty scrappy Tampa Bay team this week before they go to Cincy. So I feel like the Bills, they can't really let rest on their laurels here. They're going to start to run into some wiggle room here soon.
Well, I mean, every team that we're watching each week, all 32, they're professional teams. These are, you know, the best in the world. And you're right, they play down to their opponents, the Bills, where, I mean, I was cheering for the Patriots last week, and it's weird cheering for the Patriots. But, you know, I knew we need the Bills to lose because we're going to be competing with them. And frankly, they lost to the Giants. I mean, not really, but, you know, they only didn't lose to the Giants because the refs were terrible. The Giants beat them. So they should actually be sitting below the Jets right now. They played down to their opponents. And then you have teams on the opposite end of the spectrum that are playing up to their opponents, like the Steelers. That Steelers team stinks. I mean, their defense is great. They have some great players on defense. Their offense is terrible. But it's a well-coached team, and, you know, they get themselves ready. And I feel like the Bills on the opposite end, you know, I feel like they're lazy. Same thing, I think, like with the Chargers. Like, these teams should not be struggling the way they're struggling. So it's, you know, can they get right, you know, because, you know, we're seeing it the last 2 weeks with the 49ers. How much, you know, can you slip up and fall before, you know, it's too much that you can't get your head back above water?
And I feel like we see this a lot in the NBA, Al. You know, when you say about LeBron in the past, he would kind of just turn it on when the playoffs got there. But in the NFL, you don't have that luxury. A 2 or 3 game losing streak can completely torpedo your season before you even realize it.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at, you know, the 49ers, if they lose again this week, and now we see, you know, Purdy's in concussion protocol, they're playing the Bengals, which isn't an easy game. All of a sudden, you were, what were they, 5-0, and now if you lost this week, you'd be 5-3. You know, that means your chances out of one seed are nearly gone. And that would mean, you know, in the playoffs, I mean, unless you were to win out, that means in the playoffs now you have to go to Philly or you have to go to Dallas. I mean, less likely Dallas, but you have to go to Philly and play or, you know, and something like that. That's not what you want, you know, in the playoffs. You don't want to go to, you know, a difficult city and things like that when you had it, you know, and especially you're a warm weather team. Now in January, you're going to be going to, you know, a cold weather city. So, I mean, these things, and it is just, the season's not long enough. There's not enough games that, like in the NBA, like, you know, half the season doesn't even matter. Every game is just critically important in the NFL.
Yeah, it is.
And before we jump into the games, I'll give a quick standings update on the NFC. Over the NFC East, the Eagles still looking strong at 6-1. They're in first
place.
One
question.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry to jump in and cut you off before you go forward with that. That I've been hearing a lot of chirping this week on ESPN, Stephen A., all these guys talking about it. Are the Giants better with Tyrod Taylor? You know, is he giving them a better chance to win with Daniel Jones? And what do you do if he is? You know, you just gave Daniel Jones this obscene contract, you know, and I'm watching them and I'm saying, you know, this team is more fun to watch and the offense, he seems to have a better control over it. So, you know, what do they do in that situation?
Boy, it's I feel like this is still Daniel Jones's team. I mean, Tyrod's the journeyman as always, and you know, we saw what happened for the Chargers. They wanted to get him out so badly. We saw what happened with them and the medical staff to get Herbert in. But the Giants are playing inspired football right now. I think their defense has a lot to do with it. I think the return of Saquon Barkley has been what is carrying this team right now, because I've kind of alluded to it on the show before. It doesn't seem like Daniel Jones is the emotional leader in that locker room. He doesn't seem like to be that fiery personality to get the team riled up. It seems like that's Saquon Barkley. So I think the fact that he is back and you're starting to see some of their injuries turn back around, I think can definitely be explained away. But I think a lot of teams, maybe they're kind of just sleeping back on Tyrod. They're not expecting a backup quarterback, a journeyman quarterback to come in and put up good performances. I mean, granted, he almost had the Giants 2-0, but they also scored only 23 points the last 2 weeks. So I feel like there's a bit of a grain of salt here. I think it's a combination of multiple factors. You know, it's obviously great that Tyrod's even playing as well as he has, but I feel like you're in that scenario right now where Jones is going to come back. I think Tyrod playing well gives you the chance to give Jones as much time as possible before he's ready. But I think ultimately once he's back, I think you're going to see him regain control of this team. And I think he needs to establish some faith back in the fan base, because I think after that contract, to see where they are right now, I mean, there's some Giants fans already ready to pull the plug on them.
Yeah, yes.
And as I said, so the Eagles are 6-1, then followed by the Cowboys at 4-2. The Commanders are 3-4. The Giants trying to claw out of the basement at 2-5. They are 1-1 in the division, though, so they can try and get back with a couple of wins. They still have to play the Commanders one more time, still have to play the Eagles twice and the Cowboys once. So they could still kind of control some of that destiny if they start to play a little better against their rivals. Over the NFC North, the Lions sitting at first place at 5-2, followed by the Vikings at 3-4. The Packers are 2-4. The Bears are 2-5. Over in the NFC South, the Falcons leading the way at 4-3, followed by the surprising Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 3-3. Then the Saints at 3-4. The Panthers still searching for their first win at 0-6. And the NFC West, even with the Niners struggling, they're still in first place at 5-2. But they have the Seahawks right on their tail at 4-2, followed by the Rams at 3-4. And the Cardinals at 1-6. So if you, once again, if the season, even though it is early, if the season were to end today in the NFC, as I said, you'd have the top four being the division winners, the Eagles, Lions, 49ers, and Falcons. And then your three wildcard teams would be the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Buccaneers. And, you know, as we look at the NFC, I mean, you brought up Daniel Jones. I mean, there's a lot of question marks in the NFC right now. Sam Darnold's probably going to start for the Niners this week. You know, we've seen what's happened with the Giants and Daniel Jones. I mean, this is the Saints aren't nearly as good as we thought they maybe they would be. So, and the Vikings are falling off a little after the Jefferson injury. There's a lot of bumping room and a lot of parity between these NFC teams.
Yeah, and now we're hearing the Bears. A lot of Bears fans are, you know, calling for, okay, you know, it's time to move on from Fields because, you know, one week he'll light it up. The next week he's terrible. You know, basically a Division II quarterback came in and won with them last week. So, you know, there is, I think, more of a power differential in the NFC between the bottom and the top. So, you know, I think that leaves it open for a lot of teams, you know, to make runs. If Minnesota can keep winning, you know, they certainly look more like the team we saw last year than the team we've been seeing thus far this year. I think, you know, it's a lot of it's just fortune, where last year they won every one-score game, and this year they've lost every one-score game, you know, until now. And if they can tread water and continue to win with Jefferson out, you know, they're definitely going to make a run when he gets back. And, you know, these teams, you know, the South we know is wide open. Anybody can win that division, and the Bucs are, you know, certainly better than we thought. Atlanta's better than we thought. If they could get some half-competent quarterback play there, their defense has been very solid. The Rams are so up and down, nobody knows what to expect from them. So, you know, it's wide open there. You know, I think most of these teams have an opportunity to make the playoffs.
That they do. All right, fellas, how about we get into the week's games as we are entering week 8 of the NFL season. So, pretty much, are we at the halfway mark, right?
Well, I think one more week. I can go down to 18 week season, so.
What?
Next week would be the halfway.
Okay. All right. Well, it all kicks off tomorrow night, Thursday Night Football on Prime Video. You got the Tampa Bay Bucks visiting the Buffalo Bills. That is at 8:15. Over to the Sunday slot, the 1 o'clock games. The Cowboys will be home to the L.A. Rams. The Vikings will be visiting Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. The Titans will play host to the Atlanta Falcons. The Saints are visiting Indianapolis to take on the Colts. The Dolphins are home for a divisional matchup against the New England Patriots. The Battle of New York is going to have the Giants staked as the home team as they take on the New York Jets. The Jaguars will be in Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. The Commanders are home to the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Texans will be in Carolina to take on the Panthers. The 4:05 game will be the Seattle Seahawks. They will host the Cleveland Browns. 4:25, we'll see the Kansas City Chiefs in Denver to take on the Broncos. And the Cardinals will host the Ravens at 4:25 as well. And then rounding out the afternoon schedule, the San Francisco 49ers will be home to the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Sunday night game at 8:20, a brutal one, will be the Chicago Bears in SoFi Stadium to take on the L.A. Chargers. And the Monday night football game will have the Detroit Lions at home as they host the Las Vegas Raiders. And there's no one on a bye this week, correct, fellas? Doesn't look like there's any teams on a bye this week. So.
No, nobody.
That is the week's game. So let's get into our picks. I am going to sit out. I submitted my picks, and there's a good reason why I'm going to sit out here, because Al is basically just going to explain both of our picks, since with the exception of one, we're picking the same teams this week.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll chirp in. Well, why I think you have that other pick, but other than that, yeah, four games the same, and probably, you know, hopefully we have a little different from last week, where it seems there were just upsets. Every game was just an upset, and everybody's picks were just, you know,
yeah, it was brutal
last week.
Brutal on the sheet as well over here. I mean, it was horrendous. Yet there was somebody that still managed 10 wins in our football sheet.
Yeah, but he's the guy that's normally in last place every week, so that's what happened.
Yeah. All right, Joe, you want to start?
Yeah, since I'm going a little against the grain here, so I'll start things off. I'm going to go with the Texans at -3. I know they're going on the road to play Carolina. Carolina's got to win a game at some point, but look, I really love the way C.J. Stroud's playing right now. I think the Texans are going to be one of those kind of young, scrappy teams that no one wants to get in the way of, and I feel like the Panthers are just kind of rolling downhill right now. They're probably going to start trading off some pieces. Eventually, they'll find the way to get a win. It wouldn't surprise me if, you know, at home, it's a division rival. They would figure out a way to do that, but honestly, I just think, you know, the Texans are playing really good football right now. The Panthers just seem like they're on a downward trend, so I'm going to start off, I'll take the Texans -3 on the road going into Carolina, and I'll take them to pick up a solid win in Charlotte.
So mine and Joe's first. I'll do our four light picks first. We're going to go with the Chiefs -7 against the Broncos. And here's the thing. The Chiefs are typically not a very good team against the spread. They're always one of the best teams in the league. Everybody likes them, so the money goes to them, and that moves lines. So typically they're not good. But they've been very good this year thus far at the spread. They're beating up on teams that they're supposed to beat up on. And we know this Broncos team. Now, we've seen them. They've looked a little better the last few weeks. Their offense, you know, it looks semi-capable, but their defense is absolutely atrocious. It is a road game. It is a division game. But the Chiefs are 3-0 on the road, where the Broncos, you know, only 1-3 at home. The last 2 weeks, the Chiefs have been, you know, starting to light it up more. We're starting to see those typical Mahomes numbers, you know, over 400 passing yards. Last week, he's already over 2,000 for the season. Travis Kelce's really been, you know, coming on strong. 12 catches or something like that last week. This is a touchdown. You know, I would have liked it at least a half a point less. But this game could get, you know, if we don't have one of those scrappy division games, this game could get, you know, away pretty quick. And unless you got a backdoor cover, I would say this is a 2 or 3 point, 2 or 3 score game. So Chiefs -7 on the road against the Broncos.
And it's the Taylor Swift effect, guys. Taylor Swift effect. Will she be? Will she be
could
there?
Be,
is the big
could
question.
Be, could be. That's why Kelce lighting it up.
All right, so for my second pick of the week, I'm going to go with the Ravens -8.5. And you guys know I hate taking big spreads for road teams, but the Ravens, they really showed me something last week. They took a really, really good, really hot Detroit Lions team, and they completely dominated them. Lamar Jackson had an MVP-type performance. Their defense was incredibly effective. And this is a Cardinals team that, look, I mean, they were just turning some heads to start the year. They, you know, had that crazy game against the Giants. They almost won. They ended up beating the Cowboys. You know, they almost beat the Commanders as well, but you know, their luck is starting to run. I mean, they played the Seahawks last week. The Seahawks didn't even have DK Metcalf, and the Cardinals just couldn't keep up. They didn't score a single point in the second half. They're going to start to fall off here. It's going to be an interesting question to see where things go as far as Kyler Murray. Do they bring him back? Do they kind of take this as a bit of a redshirt year from him and, you know, just try and get him healthy for next season? I'm not really sure what they're going to decide to do, but, you know, the Cardinals were expected to be one of the worst teams of the year, rightly so. So I think it continues here. The Ravens are also 3-1 on the road this season, so I really like the way they've been playing. They've really impressed me in the AFC North. I thought they were going to kind of fall by the wayside with the Bengals supposed to be strong, and, you know, the Steelers are starting to come up. So I didn't give the Ravens a whole lot of credit to start the year. I did have them making the playoffs, but they're really impressing me right now. They're like a wild old machine, and John Harbaugh has put up a really good coaching performance. I think they continue it here. So for my second pick, I'll go on the road with the Ravens, and I'll lay the 8.5 against Arizona.
Okay. like the Chiefs game and like a few of my picks. Another big spread I like, and Joe also likes, Miami -9 at home against the Pats. So another division game, you know, especially division games, I don't like, even more so than if it's a road team, big spreads. But these teams have already played once this year. Miami won by 7. This was in New England, the second game of the season. Now, thus far, Miami, and this is a critique on them, they have 2 losses this year, and that was, you know, the 2 good teams they played in, Philadelphia and Buffalo. They beat up on bad teams. You know, their 5 wins against 1 supposed to be good team, but record-wise they're not in the Chargers. But, you know, then their other wins against New England, Denver, the Giants, and the Panthers. All teams with losing records. But they beat up on them. This offense is so electrifying, why I'm less worried giving up, you know, big points. You know, they were down to the Giants to start the game. They were down to the Panthers to start the game. But they can score so quickly. You know, they ended up beating the Panthers by 21, and I think they were down like 14-0 at one point. So they can score quick. They can score in bunches. If they're going to lose, be it to a good or a bad team, it's going to be a team that can score, because even if you play good defense on them, you know, they're going to score points. The Patriots' defense is good, and it's been playing better, even though they're very banged up. That's enough to slow them. I still expect, especially at home, Miami to put up 28-31. And, you know, that means, you know, the Patriots have to score 21. Watching that team play, I don't know if they can score 21 against anyone. That offense is pretty bad. So it's a big spread, but, you know, the Dolphins are very good at home. They beat up on these bad teams. So give me the Dolphins at home -9 versus the Pats.
All right, for my third pick, I'm going to go with the Bengals here +3.5 against the 49ers. I mean, they're coming off the bye. The 49ers, their health woes are really hitting at the worst time for them. They haven't lost the game at home this year, but, you know, it's probably going to be Sam Darnold starting. It looks like Brock Purdy is going to be stuck in concussion protocol for this game. And the Bengals are really starting to turn things on before they hit their bye week. So it seems like Burrow and Chase are finally on the same page again. I think their defense is starting to play a little bit better. Their offense, of course, always has weapons. And the 49ers, you know, as bulletproof as they looked to start the season, they were, you know, they're starting to show some weakness as of late. You know, they've been getting injured left and right. McCaffrey's been banged up, but you still probably won't see Debo Samuel this week. So I think the 49ers are going to be in for a tough game at home here against the Bengals. And Cincinnati needs kind of that statement, you know, put them back on the map, win, get them back above 500, and start to get them back up top, near the top in the AFC North. So I think they really need this win. I think it would really help their perception if they get this win. I think it'll get a lot of people back on Joe Burrow's side. So I think the Bengals are going to put up a really good performance here in San Francisco. So I will take Cincinnati, and I'll take the 3.5. Once again, third road team of the week already for me, but I'm rolling with it.
Okay, and here is another one of mine. This is the third and last big spread, the Lions. The Lions game. So the Lions last week, was this, you know, a sign of, like, you know, who they really are, or was it just, you know, a one-off thing? Because they've been amazing this year, and then they came out, and the Ravens just completely dominated them on both sides of the ball, and they really kicked their butts. I think it was more just, you know, one of those really bad games. At least this spread, like the Dolphins game, this is a home team. So they're playing the Raiders. It looks like Garoppolo is going to be out again. And whether it be Hoyer or whoever they march out there, they looked really bad last week. They lost to a bad Bears team. Now they're on the road against the Lions, who are going to be looking to, you know, make up for, you know, people were talking about them for a possible Super Bowl pick, and then they just got destroyed by a good Ravens team last week. They're going to try to show people, you know, to make up for that loss and to show people that, you know, this is who they really are, the team we thought they were at 5-1 before that bad loss to the Ravens last week. 8 points is a lot. I would be comfortable, I think, laying the 8, even if Garoppolo was playing. And this team without Garoppolo is nowhere near as good. Devontae Adams is not happy there. He wants out. You know, it just, nothing's going right there in, you know, with the Raiders. So, and I think the Lions really are a good team, and last week was just, you know, a fluke. So give me the Lions at home -8 versus the Raiders.
All right, for my fourth pick, once again, another road team. I'm going to go with the Falcons here, -2.5 against Tennessee. This is going to be another backup quarterback situation. It looks like Ryan Tannehill's not playing this week for the Titans, so you're probably going to see a couple of young quarterbacks, then Will Levis, who they took in the second round, and then you have Malik Willis, who they took in the third round last year as well. They're going to try and see if one of these guys can show up for them. And the Falcons, they're kind of one of those teams that, even though they're in first place, I feel like a lot of people are still kind of holding back on them. I think Desmond Ridder is starting to play a lot better. They've figured out some really good ways to use Bijan Robinson out of the backfield. Hopefully he's back and healthy after that illness last week. So I think the Falcons, they're just a little better equipped than the Titans are right now. I think the Titans are starting to kind of sell off some pieces. They already traded Kevin Byard to the Eagles this week. Like I said, no Tannehill. This could be a really tough game. Like, ESPN has the over-under of this game listed for 35.5. So if you're looking for offense, you probably don't want to tune to the Titans-Falcons game here for this one. But I think the Falcons are just playing better right now. The Titans have some key injuries. I think Atlanta's going to continue here. They're going to pick up a nice road win. It's going to be a bit of an ugly affair, but I'll lay the 2.5 with my fourth pick, and I will take Atlanta on the road for this one.
All right, my fourth and same pick is Joe. Again, we have had the first three the same as well. Jaguars -2.5 on the road against the Steelers. Now, the Steelers somehow are sitting at 4-2. As I mentioned before, I think their offense is bad. I think it's really bad, and there's no talent on it. Their defense is very good, and that's why they're 4-2. They've had some good wins the last 2 weeks. Particularly that Ravens game 2 weeks ago where they won by a touchdown. It's always very close games in that division. But even last week at the Rams, you know, they won by a touchdown. But the Jaguars, they're starting to look better and better each week, I think. Now 5-2, 3-0 on the road. They've won 4 in a row. They're winning, you know, by usually a touchdown or more. You know, they've beat, you know, the Saints, the Colts, the Bills, the Falcons, you know, all in a row by pretty big margins, except the Bills, which, you know, they had won by 5. So I'm comfortable with them on the road. I think they're starting to turn into the team we thought they were going to be. You know, they get after the quarterback. They can pressure the quarterback. The Steelers do as well, as though. But, you know, Trevor Lawrence is starting to look, you know, really good. He's getting healthy now. Travis Etienne has been turning it up the last couple of weeks, you know, multiple times. He's got like 7 touchdowns or something now, all like in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I think both defenses are going to look good. You know, quarterbacks are going to get sacked in this game. But I just don't see Pittsburgh being able to score more than 14, 17 points a week. And I think Jacksonville, you know, their offense is looking good. I could see this game, you know, 24-14, 24-17. So give me Jaguars -2.5 on the road.
All right, and for my final pick, I know you guys have a difference in there somewhere, so we're finally going to get to it, but I'm going to take the Bears +8.5. Look, I just have zero faith in the Chargers winning a game by more than a possession. So even though they're a lot better team, the Bears have looked pretty bad this year. Now you talk about a Division II, you know, backup quarterback that's leading the way. Probably no Justin Fields again this week. Even though they're on the road and it's Sunday Night Football, like I said, I just really have a hard time trusting the Chargers. They could very easily win this game. But Brandon Staley has shown a way in the past, especially in these primetime games where his coaching decisions just make a lapse here. And even though they're a much more talented team than their record would tell you, at 2-4, the Chargers just have a really hard way of, you know, winning these games. I mean, even their 2 wins were by 1 possession. So the fact that this line is sitting at 8.5, and the fact that they're, you know, they're more than a possession favorite, I just have a hard time believing it's going to happen. I mean, they only beat the Raiders by a touchdown, and they barely beat the Vikings by 4. So I feel like if they do win this game, it's going to come down to the end. I think even with, you know, Herbert putting on a good performance, I think they just find ways to make these games way more competitive than they should be. So even though they're playing a beaten-up Bears team that's undermanned, that doesn't have a ton of talent on it to begin with, I just have a hard time trusting them to cover a spread like this. So just out of pure, almost spite, I would say, I'm going to take the Bears +8.5 on the road. 5 road teams for me this week, but those are my picks, and I think Al did that a couple of weeks ago, picked all road teams, and it worked out decently well for him, so maybe I'm trying to capitalize on that magic.
All right, my last pick and first pick that's not the same as Joe's is, you know, a team that I've mentioned before, and they looked really good last week, the Vikings. So the Vikings are on the road against a division rival in the Packers. You know, another division game. I try to, you know, often stay away from these in the picks. But the Vikings looked, you know, we thought Justin Jefferson going out, they were 1-5 or so. And, you know, they were like, well, if they keep losing, do they rush him back? Do they sit him out? And then all of a sudden, you know, Minnesota was like, okay, we're going to start playing like we played last year. And they won 2 weeks ago against the Bears, and then they won very impressively Monday night against the 49ers. The defense looked good. You know, they picked off Purdy a few times. They were sacking the quarterback. And the offense is really turning it on. Jordan Addison is a stud. This kid is, I think, second in the league in touchdowns right now. He had a couple, you know, against a really good 49ers defense. I mean, when you have him developing into this wide receiver that he's been so far, and, you know, Jefferson coming back, like, who do you cover? You know, where does the doubles go? I don't know. And, you know, the Packers team, you know, they started off good. They've lost three in a row. Jordan Love, I think, looks like trash. They can't seem to move. Their two wins, I think, both came at the end. They were losing to the Saints, and they ended up winning it, you know, at the end after Carr had gotten hurt and was out. So they stopped scoring, basically. Jordan Love has not impressed me. He has not looked good aside from, like, those first two games. And the Vikings, you know, are getting hot now. So it is a road game, you know, but, you know, I'm going to go with the team that's hotter right now. So give me the Vikings on the road, and that's even. So, you know, it's basically a pick 'em. So I'm going to take the Vikings on the road against the Packers.
And finally, the...
So you there or you want...
Yep, nope, I'm here. The pick that we are different on is I went with the 49ers at -3.5. Look, I know that this is a tough matchup, probably a matchup a lot of people would like to stay away from, especially as Joe mentioned, you know, the Bengals seem to be getting their game together here as of late. I don't know. I just like San Francisco at home here, so I'm taking them with my fifth and final pick at -3.5. So... And that is a look at our picks. Did you guys go over the overall standings so far, or no? We got to give the overall standings before we let Al go here.
No, we didn't go over that yet.
All right. So the overall standings, or I don't know if we have the overall one. You just sent the week.
No, I put it in there. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Because I just see back from Tuesday, I went 3-2.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
I went 3-2 this week. Joe went 2-3, and Al had a horrendous 1-4. So now if I scroll back here.
My first week not winning. That was literally, I've been at least tied each week.
So week six.
Okay, so overall that would make it, I am 23, and let me see.
12.
23.
You had 8. You had 8.
12.
Yeah, you had 8 losses.
So that would make me 20-12. That would fit. You finished at what, 3-2?
I finished at 3-2, so that should be 21-15. 21-15, right?
21-14.
14.
And then Joe was what?
2-3? 2-3. So he's 15-19-1 on the season.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yep.
That updated one right now.
That's where our overall standings are. All right. Well, that's it for the week 8 picks here. Al, as always, we thank you for joining us here on the show, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye. All right. That is Al Plantamora here. We are approaching the 10 o'clock hour.
I'm going to start playing Creed in my headphones during the pick segment, see if it gets me back to 500.
You should start doing that. And speaking of which, good transition there, Joe. As you're listening to Two Cups of Joe, a sports show, Joe Sikoa, Joe Cacavalli here. If you rewind 2 years ago, Joe, 2021, the Arizona Diamondbacks lost 110 games. The Texas Rangers that same year lost 102 games. 2 years later, these two teams are playing each other in the World Series. I mean, absolutely crazy, crazy statistic when you look at it. Nobody expected them to be here just yet. I mean, you know, Texas had that losing season. They go out in the following season and spend boatloads of money, but still felt they weren't there yet. Tinkered a little bit this year. They lost the division pretty much in the last couple of days of the season, so they were pushed back to a wild card spot. The Diamondbacks were the last team to earn a spot in the playoffs. So essentially, two wild card teams are playing each other and are four wins away from the World Series. It was absolutely a dogfight in the Arizona-Philly series. I mean, you know, if you heard here, at least in the New York area, if you would have thought after the Phillies went up 3-2, leaving Arizona to come home to win one out of those two games at home with the offensive firepower they had and the looks that they've, like, they would just look like an unstoppable force, they come back home and do absolutely jack. And again, if you're living in the New York area, you would have heard prior to those two games in Philadelphia, Chris Mad Dog Russo on his show say, basically to everybody, if the Diamondbacks win the two games in Philadelphia, he would retire on the spot. And boy, oh boy, the Diamondbacks did not forget that. They were chanting his name in the clubhouse. And it's just been absolutely crazy. But Joe, like I said, these two teams, given where they were 2 years ago, are here in the World Series.
Yeah, what a turnaround. I mean, first World Series, was it 07 the Diamondbacks were in it?
So, actually, I believe it's their first World Series since 2001. When they played the Yankees.
It was Colorado in 07, right? Yep. I knew an NLS team was in there. Yep. But, Texas hasn't been there since the Giants broke their hearts.
Yeah, and I believe that was back in 2010? 2012? One of the years the Giants won it. But because there was a time where I think Texas went back-to-back and they didn't win the World Series. That was in the Ron Washington years.
Yeah, I think it was 2012 because 2011 they lost to David Freese and the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And then I think they went back again in 2012. No, it was 20.
Didn't they play the year? No, it wasn't the year that they played the Texas Rangers against the Phillies in 2008. And then 2009, it was the Phillies and the Yankees. But regardless.
Yeah, it was 2010. So yeah, they lost to the Giants in 2010 and then the Cardinals in 2011.
Yeah. So, obviously, Texas has been there, but it's been quite a bit of time. But for Arizona, certainly been quite a bit of time. And currently, right now, if you were to go on FanDuel Sportsbook, because that's the primary betting app that I use, just to take a look and see where this is standing, right now, the Texas Rangers, of course, they're the home team in this series, by the way. At least on the game itself, they are -162, while the Arizona Diamondbacks are +136. But the odds to win the series, Texas is the favorite right now, -174, while Arizona is a +148. So that's where those two teams are here for the World Series. But nonetheless, listen, quick little thing I'm going to say here is, you know what? I really wouldn't be shocked if Arizona wins this because I truly believe, Joe, pitching is what is going to win you this series on more so over hitting. And, I mean, what Arizona did in the two games in Philadelphia absolutely stifle the Phillies. The bullpen is hot. And really, this is just a show like, listen, just get into the playoffs. Anything can happen. We see this year in and year out. Texas, on the other hand, they're coming off of a series where they relied a lot more on their hitting. Their pitching could have been better. You know, Max Scherzer finally has a pretty decent start in that Game 7 where, you know, he seemed to, yet again, have issues early on in this series and makes you question where he is as a postseason pitcher. But like I said, I think it's going to come down to pitching more so than hitting. But then again, who am I to say anything because I got obliterated when I put my playoff picks out there. Nonetheless, you know, have these two teams here in the World Series. So to me, pitching is going to win out this series. And you want to know something, Joe? I'm going with the Diamondbacks in six games.
And I'll tell you, I think the thing this comes down to, Joe, I'm going to take the Rangers in seven. And here's why. Because the man that is responsible for getting them to the World Series just so happens to be the same guy that beat them the last time they were there, in Bruce Bochy. And the fact that they had, you know, 68 wins last year, they go out, they fire Jeff Banister during the season. They just need a new voice in there. They bring in someone who clearly has championship experience. And not to sell Tori Lavella short, he was on that Red Sox staff that won the World Series in 2013. So he's been there and he's been able to do that. And, you know, the Diamondbacks are a young team. I think the Rangers, though, they're just – I think they're a little bit more ahead of schedule right now. I think they're a little bit more where they need to be. Because remember, Joe, there was a time before they started to hit that little slump, but they were one of the best teams in baseball in the ALS. I think the fact that the Diamondbacks have had to put everything into it just to get here, I think the Rangers can come up with those one or two key moments, you know, whether it's Adolis Garcia, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager. He won a World Series with the Dodgers, remember, in 2020. So I think that's where it's going to come down to. But I think the fact that Bruce Bochy, the fact that he's done this now three times, trying to join that elite group of managers to win four World Series, I think that's where the experience comes in. And I think that's what I'm going to give the slight edge to Texas over. I think Arizona's a great team. They're definitely on a good upward trajectory. So many good young players. Their pitching staff looks good for the next few years. But I think right here, right now, I think the Rangers are a slightly better team with a much more seasoned manager. So I think that's why the Texas Rangers will come out on top in this series in the end.
Can understand it. And key word you said there, maybe someone in the Yankees office will somehow find this and hear this, but seasoned managers are the ones that are still standing here. And even if you look at the final four, still seasoned managers.
And congrats to Dusty Baker on one hell of a career. Speaking of one of those seasoned managers, he's going to retire tomorrow. After losing, so the Yankees can't go get him. But even though the Yankees are going to need a new hitting coach, but you know, the Dusty Baker heads off into the sunset. And you know, that was one of the rumors, Joe, I know, going into these playoffs, that this was probably going to be his final year.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting how the dynamic shifts there in Houston, you know, when that happens. And, yeah, as you mentioned, the Yankees, just a couple of other notes here. The Yankees are not bringing back Sean Casey, or is more so Sean Casey's decision. As he said, it's due to family reasons why he will not be returning as the hitting coach. Maybe he sees that this ship is still sinking and maybe he's not going to get it. The other thing, too, is not getting our hopes up just yet, but I feel like it's just a formality kind of report. But the New York Yankees and Padres have had quote unquote preliminary discussions in regards to Juan Soto. So, way preliminary. Teams are not allowed to make trades yet, but it's definitely something that to keep an eye on, especially when we get into the offseason and specifically, you know, the winter meetings that happen in December. You know, the World Series is still going on, but things pick up right after the World Series ends. And speaking of which, the World Series gets underway on Friday. Texas is the home team in this series, so they will host Game 1 and Game 2 on Friday and Saturday. All games scheduled for an 8:03 p.m. Eastern start time. Then the series will shift to Arizona beginning Monday, October the 30th, and it'll be three games in Arizona, games 3, 4, and 5, if necessary, and then it would shift back to Texas for game 6 and game 7, so the latest possible day for this series, if it were to go the distance, would be Saturday, November 4th. So will there be another player that etches themselves in the history that could then stand side by side as Mr. November with Derek Jeter? That is the question. But we'll see about that. All right, shifting over here quickly before we end the show. As I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, what a day it was for the NHL. I mean, granted, Joe, they probably could have picked not a weekday, especially a Tuesday night, especially if you want to get eyeballs on the game. Probably could have targeted at least a Friday night, but nonetheless, they pull off a night where every single team in the NHL played 16 games, 32 teams, started at 6 p.m., staggered every 15 minutes until the 11 o'clock hour. What a day it was for sure. Of course, the Rangers and Islanders and Devils, the three local teams, were in action for it. The Devils, they won their game. Tyler Toffoli had a hat trick, and I know he's actually gone on with another couple of goals here tonight in their game. That's the lone game that's playing right now, the Devils and the Capitals. I believe the Capitals were winning 6-4 last check of that score. The Islanders fell out in a barn burner against Colorado 7-4, and the Rangers picked up their second win of this very long six-game road trip as they are out west. They pick up the win against the Calgary Flames, actually their first win in Calgary since 2018, but they started this road trip by beating the Seattle Kraken back the other night. They'll be in Edmonton tomorrow night. They will then play the Vancouver Canucks on Saturday night, and then they will start making their way back home. They'll finish out the road trip, concluding on the 30th against the Winnipeg Jets. And then they, that was stupid. Never mind. And then they come back home for November 2nd. But, yeah, a very long road trip here, but they seem to have gotten their feet wet a little bit. 4-1 win over the Kraken on Saturday, a 3-1 win over the Flames last night. They're looking to keep it going, and also they're going to play an Edmonton Oilers team that actually will not have Connor McDavid. McDavid is actually going to be sidelined for a couple of weeks with an upper body injury, which means he'll also miss one of the first outdoor games of the season, the Heritage Classic, happening on Saturday between Edmonton and Calgary. So Connor McDavid will not be in the lineup for that game. So, Joe, your thoughts on the NHL's full slate of games?
And like you mentioned, Joe, it would have been interesting to see how they pulled it off kind of on a weekend, but I know it's really tough, especially with the way things are going right now. I mean, you can't do Sunday because of the NFL. You can't really do Saturday because of college football. So, I mean, maybe you could have tried for like a Friday.
Or even a Thursday night. Way.
Yeah, maybe you could do. I mean, maybe they could even try it for like.
Especially that, you know, a lot of people don't really have Prime, and right. Usually the Prime games are the crappier games in the football schedule, so.
Could be worth looking at. I mean, there's always the possibility. I mean, I know there's a couple kind of holidays coming up, too, so they could have tried something like that. But at least, you know, they proved they could do it. You know, I think it's something that's kind of cool to have the idea. I mean, I remember how, Joe, the last couple of years with the MLB would have every team playing on opening day. It's not really staggered anymore. They want to have every team getting a chance to kind of get some fans interested. So the fact that you have everyone playing, at least you know you're gonna have a game pretty much anywhere. That's always what the fun is with the March Madness. You know, you can go to any channel, you're gonna find a game. So I think, you know, it's a good test run and interesting to see where they go with it. I know a lot of people, you kind of get a little jet lagged when there's like one or two games a couple nights in a row because everyone played a big chunk of games. So maybe see if they try a little bit more going forward.
Yeah, they should, absolutely. And one of the cool things is of when you have something like that, you get the statistics. So I think the first goal was scored at 6:13 Eastern time, and the last goal of the night was scored at 1:45 a.m. Eastern time. So pretty cool graphic there when it comes to that. So we'll get a little bit more into the hockey talk in the next couple of weeks as things, slowly die down, at least with the baseball season. Of course, basketball is underway. I know we didn't really get too much to talk about that. The New York Knicks in action tonight. Joe, I know you're watching that game right now against the Boston Celtics at Madison Square Garden. You want to give us a quick little update on that?
Yeah, that game actually just went final, so the Celtics hung on to beat the Knicks 108-104 as a back-and-forth matchup. RJ Barrett had a nice night, but it was not to be. The Knicks lost on their home court, but they'll get another chance to get things going. They had a nice run in the third, but kind of fell off after that. So Boston's a good team, and you know that's going to be one of those teams the Knicks have to watch out for because the top four in the East are going to be a dogfight between probably Boston, Philly, Miami, and Milwaukee. So the Knicks are going to have to get some of the wins here to kind of shuffle back into that secondary contention there among that group of teams. But, you know, they'll get a chance to play New Orleans here next up, and they'll also play Atlanta. So a couple interesting matchups for them as their season gets started.
Yep, and like I said, we'll, try to squeeze in a little bit more basketball and hockey talk now as, of course, those seasons are underway. But, Joe, for the second week in a row, man, I think we just got to ride the hot hand here. I think what we need to do is we need to end our show with a little bit of Creed. We did that last week, especially for the Rangers who are using that as their motivation. But We want to thank Albert Plantamora, as always, for joining us with his football talk. You have been listening to Two Cups of Joe, a sports show right here on Sports Addict Media. On behalf of Joe Cacavalli, I am Joe Sacoa. We thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week. You have yourselves a good sports week. Then tears of joy stream down my face. We're lost.